SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Two hours down, 1 hour to go. My goodness, the hot topics just continue to fly right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside along with Dubs Anderson having fun on a Wednesday morning. We're going to get to the Fade the Public poll in just a moment, Dubs, but keeping it all in Halloween, some of the bigger questions and bigger fights come up here on Halloween is, which candy do you A, like, and which candy do you hand out at your door for the trick-or-treaters? So, Dubs, I'm going to ask you this. You know, going around as a kid, What did you get Halloween-wise? Like, what did you like and what did you not like? What some of the candies were you digging into?
I used to love the mini chocolate bars, you know, a little Twix, a little Snickers, a little Mars bar, a little Bounty bar with the coconut sprinkles up on top. Wow. The one that I've yet to dabble with, Donnie, is the candy corn. And, you know, a couple of people have looked at me like an alien this week. They're like, you haven't tried it? I'm like, no, it looks disgusting. It looks like I'm going to have to make another trip to the dentist there. So candy corn is a pass. Don't know what that life is all about. But for me, give me the little kid-size, fun-size chocolates. It's less calories, but I'll consume about 20 of them, which doesn't count.
Yeah, always back in the day, you go to people's houses, and like it was a like if somebody was handing out the full length candy bars here, like the Snickers bars, whatever it is, or even like the full Reese cups, they were absolutely tremendous here. So I am a big Snickers guy as well, but I always remember like sometimes you go to like, you know, grandma's or grandpa's, and they give you like a quarter or 5 cents or something like that, and they come on now. And by the way, let me ask you this question. See, my sarcasm gained, you know, a lot more power later in life, like once I hit like teenage years and forward. Did you ever go to somebody's house and be like, hey, trick or treat? Like if I'm answering the door, I think I'm going to do this year, which I won't be home maybe for a kid or two. How about a trick? How about that? And the kids are like, I don't understand. Like I'm supposed to get candy. Like, no. Yeah. I'm going to show you a trick right now. Did you ever hit one of these kids with trick as opposed to treat?
No, but I won't, Donnie. I'm gonna save that one for Thursday night, or maybe trivia. If you can answer my trivia question, I'll stump you, and then you can get a treat. But I tell you what, kids expect too much these days, Donnie. They've got the latest iPhones, they've got the latest iPads. I don't think the kid-sized chocolate bar is probably going to be enough. They're going to want the full complement. Otherwise, it's like, gee, thanks. I'll move on to the next one. Like, kid, you're welcome. You're lucky if you get a ham sandwich when you're coming up to Dubsy's front door. You're lucky if there's chocolate left in this little bucket and I haven't consumed it by the time that you roll around here. I don't know. I'll probably lay out a couple of shots. So I'll take a couple of shots for those over the legal age of getting amongst it, Donnie. But should be a good time. I'm no closer to coming up with a judgment on what to wear. I'm leaning towards Joe Burrow, silky white Cincinnati Bengals with the frosted tips up on top. But I want a winning record. I don't know if Joey Burrow's my guy for this season, Donnie.
By the way, I do want to start a movement here. There's got to be somebody out there watching the show. It's like, you know what? I always buy 3-4 bags of candy, hand them out. Before Halloween gets there, you eat half the bags. That's your tradition. And once, you know, Halloween's over, you eat the other half of the bag. You give out the rest. You try to do as much as you can. But there's got to be somebody out there that's going to take that on as a task, Dubs. And go, you know what? I'm not going to buy any candy. Every time somebody comes to the door, I'm going to show them a trick, man. Is somebody that diabolical out there that can try to actually pull that off? Like, oh, no, I forgot candy. What do I do? Ding dong. All right, trick or treat. And just like, hey, here's a pen. And now it's like, all right, the pen's gone. Like, all right, kids, have a good night the rest of the way out. Like, I need somebody to be filming that and try that out. So we'll see if somebody steps up to the equation tomorrow. Now, stepping up to the table, Dubsy, I asked you a question. What do you like here on candy? What are you doing on you know, Halloween and stuff? Let's see what the public has to say in a Fade the Public poll. The question today, Dubsy, at SportsGrid on our account, who will win the World Series and in how many games? Four options, which will be the Dodgers in games 5 or 6 or 7, or the Yankees in game number 7. The leader in the clubhouse, Dubs, Dodgers in game 5, which means they'll close it out tonight. Me? I voted Dodgers in 6. I'm fading the public. How about you?
I'm right there with you, Donnie. I think we get through game 5 this evening. We get it back to the West Coast, and the Dodgers get the score in game 6 in their building down there in Chavez Ravine. I think the Yankees found a bit of that spark. And we want to see this thing go the distance, because hopefully we're all leaning on the overs at 5.5, which is what we got the ticket prior to this series getting underway. But I feel like, Donnie, we waited so long to get a World Series matchup with two of the best of all time, the Dodgers, Yankees, historic, star power, superstars on both sides. Not that we've seen a lack of that thus far, but to finish this thing in five games, that would be a travesty to us sports fans. So please, Gerrit Cole, get the win. Yankees survive. Let's get this thing back out to the West Coast, and then the Dodgers close it out game six. Then the party can start.
By the way, you know what's actually wild here? You look at these statistics coming in, because the Dodgers in five is the favorite at 43.3%. Second comes into the Dodgers in six games, which I voted for, at 33%. But the Dodgers in seven is 4.6% compared to the Yankees in seven at 18.8%. Is there any chance? Forget about the Dodgers in seven. We get to game number seven. It has to just be full-on panic mode out there in Dodger Stadium. My goodness.
And I mean, you know, pressure makes diamonds, momentum. It's a wonderful thing to see when it's on your favor. But if the Dodgers drop game five coming up here for Wednesday evening, suddenly they are pushing it uphill, Donnie, and they will be having nightmares getting back to Dodger Stadium. We turn it back to the start of the series. They were very close to dropping that opener. You know, it went 10 innings. They were lucky to get the score in that one. But if we were here looking back and saying, well, it's the Yankees leading this thing 3-2, you'd be saying, wow, what's going on? So the Dodgers, suddenly that's starting to creep in the back of their mind. Freddie Freeman's done everything in his power. The locker room, the clubhouse has been vibing thus far, but that can change very quickly. I think this was a wake-up call last night for the Dodgers and for the Yankees. This is only going to buoy their chances. They're playing with house money. You drop the first three games, history tells us you're not getting back into this series. You're never going to get back into it the whole way and win this thing. But why would you not believe? You've picked up one game, worry about the next inning, the next at-bat, that next swing. If you can pick up two, you're just one back. Yankees are going to like their chances. So call me a sicko. Call me, because it's Halloween here, Donnie. But I tell you what, if the Dodgers can't close this thing out tonight, suddenly seven games is absolutely in play. But I think the sweet spot for me is the six games back out here at Dodger Stadium.
The champagne bottles were in the house last night. Had to put them away. Will the champagne bottles come out and be put away once again tonight? If we're looking at the odds board from the FanDuel Sportsbook, it opened up as a minus 136 favorite towards the New York Yankees. It now sits at FanDuel Live at a minus 142 price. The total, which opened up at 8, now sits at 8.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. So money coming in on the home team, Dubsy. Money coming in on the over tonight. Aces on the mound. Flaherty for the Dodgers. Gerrit Cole for the New York Yankees. I do think we are headed for Friday night game six baseball on the West Coast. I think that's phenomenal.
Things you'll love to see. And the Yankees are going to have the edge out of the starting arm since coming across from Detroit. Flaherty's been a little shaky. I know he looked better going against the Pinstripes a couple games back, but Gerrit Cole's the ace. He's going to give the Yankees the best chance to win this game. And, you know, Donnie, we look at all the numbers and the odds makers are going to set these lines of all the metrics, of all the stats, but you have to factor in things like this being a closeout game. This is going to be the toughest game in professional sports in trying to close out a World Series. We joke about the champagne and the ski goggles being in the locker room. That's a distraction. You can bet that all of these Dodgers players have flown in the family, the friends. They're worried about where they're going to celebrate after they get their first World Series, after they get out of the clubhouse. And a lot of that is side smoke that you shouldn't have to worry about. But suddenly, it just makes the waters a little murkier. This is not just a game you're showing up in trying to win. You've got all that in the back of the mind. And suddenly, with that loss last night in game four, there is doubt. There is doubt creeping in. And on the other side of the spectrum, there's a bit of confidence building for the Yankees. This is not so straightforward. Minus 136. I love the look of New York this evening.
Oh, it's going to be good. And remember, game number one, you had a great performance out of Gerrit Cole that got wasted late by a grand slam by Freddie Freeman. We actually could be 2-2 in this game with Gerrit Cole, the man with the Yankees taking lead. But we aren't. So much to get to. Craig Mish steps up and in next to help us out with the World Series. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three in full effect. No doubt about it. Having fun. It's Dubsy. It's Donnie. It's the morning on a Wednesday. Now it's time to bring in Craig Mish, Newswire's host, coming up at 11 a.m. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball. Craig, we might even be stepping up to the plate today saying, okay, we're ready for the offseason, but not the case. How we feeling, Craig?
Yeah, I thought it would end last night. I came on here, and honestly, after the first couple innings, I thought it would end last night too. But finally, as we talked about, guys, somebody woke up on the Yankees, and I will get into it here a little bit, but I do kind of think the Dodgers laid down a little bit in this game as it went on.
Closeout situation, Craig. You always like to see a bullpen game with a kid that's only pitched a couple innings opening up and turned into a lead early for the Dodgers, and then the Yankees woke up and had some great stuff last night, which included a grand slam out of Volpe, but also one of the more interesting player-fan interactions on the right field line between Mookie Betts and a fan. Some are saying that jump-started the game for the New York Yankees, Craig.
No, Brent Honeywell jump-started the game for the New York Yankees. I think a lot of people who don't follow baseball that closely may have known that guy right there more than Brent Honeywell, who, by the way, used to be one of the top prospects in all of baseball, pitched for the Rays, but couldn't get anybody out yesterday, and the game was over. And that's what I was saying, is I don't think that fan had anything to do with it. I think Dave Roberts, in a 3-0 situation, with the team down a couple of runs, had a couple of choices to make, which was, do we push and go all in to come back and tie this, or do we just try and maintain this to see if we can stay in it? And they didn't. But now I think the Dodgers have basically all their top pitchers and everybody else ready to go for the rest of the series. But I definitely think you have to give the Yankees credit, absolutely, for coming back and taking that game yesterday. But inevitably, I really, again, based on history, and as long as I've been watching this, guys, no team comes down from 0-3 to win it all. So could the Yankees certainly use that momentum, Donnie? I think you may be right. I think we could be headed back to L.A., but I still can't change my opinion on the way the series is going to end.
Craig, is it going to be on the offensive side for the Yankees, putting up an 11-piece there for Game 4, 11-4? Is that the kind of jolt, the spark that they needed in trying to keep this series alive going into Game 5, where they will have that support from Gerrit Cole being out there on the bump?
Yeah, it's hard to say because the game was really close until they brought in a pitcher who hadn't pitched in the postseason. So, I'm not saying that the white flag was waved in that spot, Dubs, but it definitely felt like they were just hoping to get a good performance out of a pitcher who really had no impact on them in the postseason. So, in the end, Aaron Judge did get a hit. I understand that. But in the end, it's going to have to be their big guys that continue to contribute. But last night was really what I thought the World Series was going to look like, where maybe you'd get a Rizzo hit or a Jazz hit or a Volpe hit or Wells, like those guys. Like I thought to win a World Series, everybody has to contribute. Juan Soto put the Washington Nationals on his back when they won the World Series back in 2019. But they also had other contributors to that team, too. They had Trey Turner, Anthony Rendon, a lot of other all-stars that all stepped up in the big moment. It's going to have to happen for the Yankees to get to 7. It's going to have to be Judge. It's going to have to be Soto, yes. But it also has to be those other players that you saw hit last night.
Extending the series, which I always think is interesting, and we're baseball fans, so I love it. Like, more drama tonight. I would even love if it goes back to Game 6 and even a Game 7, which would be great. But, Craig, to me, when do we start to turn the pressure up on the Dodgers? Because last night, you're right, closeout game, bullpen situation, guys that haven't pitched before, let's just see what happens. You give that away. Gerrit Cole steps on the mound tonight. When do you think that pressure starts to hit where Dave Roberts goes, okay, it's time to close this out? Because 6 and 7, if it does get back to L.A., it feels like, for me, game number 6 still would be on the Yankees to try to win that. But if it gets to a game number 7, I can't imagine what that clubhouse is feeling like with the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think we're still, Donnie, far away from that happening.
We are.
It's hard to envision that scenario where the Yankees win tonight and then they win game 6. I think probably if the Yankees win tonight, then there would be some pressure going into that. But then again, like, the difference is in the series, not that home field advantage means a lot, but you're going to have that Dodger crowd going crazy again for them. And then any nervousness is sort of out. Like, there's not going to be that kind of energy. I mean, a lot of people have said that the energy in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium was as strong as it ever has been for any game in those first two games of the series. So I would imagine, and again, maybe I'm not the right person here, because I thought the Yankees, I thought this was going to be over. Initially, I thought the Yankees were going to win the World Series. So fading me has been the way to go in the World Series for sure. But I do think in the end, the Dodgers will win. I don't know when it'll be, 5, 6, 7. You know, it's funny, last night I was at my son's baseball practice, guys, and they were all asking me, because, you know, it's like, oh, he's the expert, right? And I was like, well, you know, we did see the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, the Florida Panthers go up 3-0. Yeah. Edmonton came back 3-3, and then the Panthers had to win in Game 7. So in sports, it's not unreasonable to think that it can't happen. But what we saw from Edmonton in the Stanley Cup Finals in Game 7 is they were out of gas for pushing those three games to wins against the Panthers. And I think the same thing could happen for the Yankees, too. It's like you go so far all in Game 4, all in Game 5, all in Game 6. Eventually, it comes to an end.
Momentum, it's a wonderful thing in professional sports. Craig, the Dodgers still firmly holding this series 3-1 in their grasp. Who's been the standout outside of Freddie Freeman? Freddie Freeman has been fantastic for the Dodgers thus far, but who's been another name that stepped up to the mark and really supported Freddie in keeping the Dodgers in control?
I mean, he's been far and away, Dubs, the most valuable player. I don't think he would need to do anything tonight or even in Game 6 to still win. But look, I think the surprise at the very least has been the contribution that Walker Buehler has given to the Dodgers, because there's a path for him to pitch again potentially in the series where you were kind of like, can he give you two innings? Can he give you three? And all of a sudden he's dominating again. Remember, he was a big part of that World Series team in 2020. So Dubs, for me, that would be the pitching contributor. Offensively, it just seems like on any given night, it can be somebody other than Freddie Freeman, Kike Hernandez, or Mookie Betts, or Otani, or somebody else. Buehler's been a surprise for me, because I think if they did not have Buehler, and Donnie asked me that question, when does the pressure begin, I would be like, who the heck is going to pitch for the Dodgers? But knowing how well Buehler pitched last time against the Yankees, you'd feel pretty good about his chances again.
Before the hot stove, we're going to put you on the hot stove right now. Yankees-Dodgers tonight, who gets that W?
Oh my gosh. So fade me, I guess, because I've been wrong a lot here. So I'll say the Yankees push it to Game 6 and it ends back in LA. In Game 6.
More content. We love that, Craig. And you want more content out of Craig? Newswire starts 11 a.m. Eastern right here on the Sports Grid Network. Craig, thanks for tuning in. More baseball. Maybe we get it for Friday night. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now, you wanted moments yesterday. You got them. Anthony Volpe with a grand slam, and for some weird reason, never met Derek Jeter and had to take a picture with him after the game. And you say, Donnie, why do you care about a player taking a picture with another player for a photo op? Oh, perfect segue as we get into it tonight, Dubsy. The NBA takes place. It's the Los Angeles Lakers. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. That spread's 4.5 currently right now as a favorite towards the Cavaliers and a total of 225. But here's the issue with this game. Forget about the handicaps here. Bron and Bronny are going to show up in Cleveland tonight for a family photo. And why wonder about this, Dubs? You know, sometimes when you get married, you pick out a videographer, you pick out a photographer. Have they been doing this here? Because photo op night number one, which they got, fantastic. They loved it as a family. I panned, quite frankly. He hasn't appeared in a game yet, but he's going to appear in the game tonight for another photo op, and then he's going to be banished to the G League. Let's start there. Lakers, Cavs, off the court here. Bronny coming to town. Big deal, no big deal, making a mockery of the NBA, or Donnie, you're being way too harsh. It's a great family moment.
Oh, get out of here. We're not at Disneyland riding up and down Splash Mountain here, Donnie. What's going on? I mean, we've seen enough from Bronny James. He looks like, you know, a 12-year-old playing amongst men. He's not built for it. He doesn't have the skill set. It's a complete insult to the opposition in the Cleveland Cavaliers. And LeBron James has far too much control over this Lakers team. So let's get another photo opportunity in the mix. Let's get it done and dusted. He ain't putting up points. He ain't putting up buckets. He ain't getting rebounds. This is an absolute disaster from the jump. And this is what happens when your podcast co-host is the head coach in J.J. Redick. The Lakers are playing some good basketball. They don't need this distraction or this sideshow. And imagine what it tells the rest of the locker room. Like, yeah, okay, we'll step aside and we'll let him have his, you know, a couple of minutes in the spotlight as we go back to Cleveland here. We're trying to win basketball games. This is the NBA. This is the association, one of the toughest environments in professional sports. And you're bringing the young fella up just because it's something you want to do. I'm sorry, I haven't bought in for this one from the jump. If you're trying to play the long game with Bronny James, that ain't it either. I'm sorry, there's levels to this thing. He doesn't have what Dad has in terms of seeing it out there on the hardwood. Give him a minute, 2 minutes at best. I don't like this play for the Lakers at all, and they're probably going to be left Cleveland with egg in the face. So I'm right there with you, Donnie.
Like, why don't you, and why don't we just keep going on this? Like, I guess he goes to the G League, but then he might come back for the Miami Heat game in Miami so they can do it again. And why don't we just even take it to the 10th degree here, Dubs? Why don't every game, Bronny come in and they stop the game, call a timeout, maybe even like Adam Silver can be there, and Bronny and LeBron can exchange jerseys at half court like players do after the game and take the picture that way here. Wouldn't that be great? Hey, Dad, can you get your jersey? Sure, son. Let me get yours. It makes a mockery of the organic situations in sports are why we love sports, where we don't know what's going to happen and players step up in big moments. Fake photo ops? That's what gets on my nerves. But by the way, Cleveland Cavaliers come into this game 4-0 in the season. The Lakers 3-1. I'm taking the Cavs tonight, -4.5 on Bronny night. How about that? Game number two we'll look at. How about the Spurs and the Thunder? Big line here. 12.5-point spread for the 12-point spread live for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Total of 221. Spurs Thunder Dubs. Any feels? Wembanyama, OKC, SGA? What do you got?
Yeah, I love this matchup. Two of the exciting young teams in the NBA. OKC obviously pushing for a championship. They do have the cows. They've got that pedigree. SGA, the shortest price in the MVP market. But this is a big spot. Close to two touchdowns and going against Wemby and the Spurs. And we know how San Antonio like to play it. They can shut it down on the defensive side. So for me, if you want to correlate the two bet types here, I think the Spurs grabbing the points in a big spot. Bright lights, shining lights going against one of the best teams in the NBA. Give me the points with the Spurs and give me the unders there as well. I'll correlate it towards that total, 221.5. I don't see in which a way in which we get over that. I caught up with a couple of Suns players last week, Donnie, and I was lucky enough to ask him who scares you in the NBA? Who is that big that it just wows you in their presence? And like, Wemby is a really big dude. There is no one like him. So really tough in trying to score against. And I think the kid's an absolute superstar. One of my craziest bets of the year, quadruple, double at 12-1 for Wembanyama. Give me the Spurs.
Oh, dig in. Celtics Pacers here also. Take a look at the Celtics 4-0 in the season. The Pacers 1-3. Currently live, -6.5 favorite for the Celtics. The Pacers total in this game, 235.5. Give me the over in this one. Let's have some fun. It's on the move.
Pacers playing with plenty of pace. They can score. Could not stop a nosebleed. The Celtics, the class. Aye. Why are the Celtics playing with so much motivation, Donnie? Does somebody take their lunch money? Does somebody tell them they're getting kicked out of Boston? They're playing like an angry team right now. Let's go.
Maybe the Celtics don't show up because they're watching Bronny James night in Cleveland. Could be upset alert, baby. Go Madden next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Whoa, don't look now. It's the early line. SiriusXM Channel 159. It's still Dubs Anderson today. We are going overtime with Dubs. Why? Because we got a World Series game number 5 to talk about tonight in the Bronx. Flaherty, Cole, 8:08 p.m. Eastern. 8.5's the total. 142 is the favorite side here now for the Yankees, up from earlier. As you see that graphic at -136. The people are buying in on the Yankees. My question to you, Dubs, is, by the way, do we know who's either singing the national anthem or maybe coming out and doing a couple sets, you know, 2-3 songs, dance around on the mound at this point? Do we have any ideas on the entertainment tonight?
I think Fat Joe's given us an encore. I tell you what, polarizing receptions from social media. Ice Cube out here in the West Coast. Fat Joe, apparently he didn't step up and give us prime time. I guess it was back in 96 when Fat Joe was still a thing. But excited for this one, Donnie. Doesn't get much bigger than Game 5, Yankee Stadium, World Series, must win for the Pinstripes. And I think they found a little something last night. Gerrit Cole, the ace, going to give him the best chance for success. And I think I like the Yankees in this spot. The total's a tough one for me, Donnie. I love the unders. You know, Flaherty looked fantastic in his first start in the World Series, but he's been a little spotty. At first glance, I think it's going to be a low score, but maybe a total that I would keep an eye on during the live betting. You know, if we get that nervous energy like we saw in game four, third, fourth inning, maybe look towards to jumping in on the overs. But I think the Yankees in this spot must win. They're playing with house money. What have they got to lose at this point? So give me the pinstripes, Donnie.
By the way, let's get into some extracurriculars here, too, because it's landmark cities playing each other, right? Los Angeles going up against New York. Like, Ice Cube is just the epitome of cool. Comes out, does a set, awesome. Dodger Stadium, iconic. The background, it's bright sunshine. It's nice weather out there. Do you feel like coming back to New York, you know, it's supposed to be colder weather, which is actually not right now, your normal everyday stadium for Yankee Stadium, which you have now, and, you know, Fat Joe comes out. Do you feel like Fat Joe was like a last option where they went down like a list of people and didn't show up? Like, they didn't just call Fat Joe, like, you're the guy we want here for game number three and hype it up. Did you feel like that was turned down like multiple times?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, when you've got a good friend's birthday and you've completely missed the boat, yeah, saying, oh no, it's tomorrow. Let me hop on Cameo. Mm-hmm. I can get David Hasselhoff to give us a $10 birthday shout out. That's how I feel about Fat Joe showing up to perform at the World Series. Where's Jay-Z? Where's Jay-Z, my guy? Pay whatever it costs to get him out there in the mix. If you want to try and top Ice Cube, I tell you what, Ice Cube, he hasn't aged a day. And he was out there with the Dodger jacket looking slick, cool as ever. So the Dodgers have had the edge on that side of things. And maybe that's the mental advantage that you need. It didn't even look like the Yankees were impressed from what they saw prior to first pitch there. So they're going to need something special to live up to the mark of this one. And that can be enough, Donnie. You've got to get that ballpark rocking and rolling. They're paying, you know, a significant price for these tickets. It's not $10 up on StubHub going against, you know, the Oakland A's back there in mid-July. This is a big spot. Pay the price. Get the big names in attendance. We want to see it. Don't these heavy hitters have like a laundry list of A-listers and superstars they can just call up? Doesn't Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, have a couple of boys that can say, hey, come and give us two, three songs? Don't have to be bangers, but just get this thing going. Fat Joe hasn't been fat in 20 years, and he's back in the mix? True. I'm sorry. We could have done better.
True. Yeah, but I mean, you could have done better here. I mean, some guys have other things to worry about. You know, you're not calling Diddy up to try to come back to New York City, obviously. Mace, how about that? Mace would be a good one to bring up. How about Cameron and the Diplomats? I mean, come on now. How about Nas? Like, there's so many legendary people that you can bring out there. And you had Joe, Fat Joe coming out there, New York, what's up? And they'll be like, oh, come on now. We're down 0-2. Now we get this at this point. But you might have a catalyst last night. Ashanti sings the national anthem, and you can pick up a W. We'll see who does it again tonight. And the entertainment should be much better because it shouldn't be a funeral atmosphere. You're getting actual hope tonight. Oh, the producer says it's TBD tonight on who's going to show up, which
they're
means
on
we
it.
Might have something big. Big in the works. Matsui throwing the first pitch tonight. Yeah, come on, man. We couldn't get better than Matsui either. That's for another time. But you do have your ace on the mound, which is Gerrit Cole. I am taking the Yankees to win this game tonight. Jack Flaherty, last 30 days, 89 batters he's faced. How about this, Dubsy? Really struggling against right-handed batters, so you flip it right back to the two big boys in that lineup. Aaron Judge, do you trust he's back? Base knock last night, walk last night, also got an RBI last night. Giancarlo Stanton didn't come through when he needed to last night, but still, his last 42 at-bats, a 385 ISO power number against right-handed pitching. Could he make a dent? Gleyber Torres had a home run last night. That's another guy. I'm hunting right-handed batters tonight, Dubsy, going against Jack Flaherty. I think the Yankees win this game. I think we get baseball on Friday night, and we'll be a better nation because of that.
Let's do it. Game six back here on the West Coast. Donnie, if I wanted to throw this one at you, Flaherty's a little spotty, a little vulnerable. We've seen it time and time again. Who could be the bat to send 1 yard? If we're looking for a bit of fun, we've got Aaron Judge at plus 230. He found a little something last night. You've got Stanton, who's slower than a wet week, but we don't need him to run. He's at plus 300. And then Juan Soto at plus 390. Out of the big hitters for the pinstripes, who's sending 1 yard? Who's going to be that hero of the concrete jungle?
I got to tell you, like, you say, like, Aaron Judge, you're waiting for him to wake up. Sooner than later, he's going to run into a fastball and crush it. And also, typically on the last couple days on the East Coast in October, you're supposed to be freezing cold out there, pitching in the 40s and maybe a wind blowing in, maybe some flurries in the air. 65 degrees at first pitch tonight, as if they're playing in Los Angeles. A wind blowing out the left field. It's only 6 miles an hour. But did you know also, Dubs, on Halloween here, over 80 degrees on the East Coast. So maybe that ball is going to travel a little bit longer. But if I had one guy to pick, it's Aaron Judge. If I had two guys to pick, it's Aaron Judge and it's Giancarlo Stanton for me for the New York Yankees. So let's flip it over to the Los Angeles Dodgers of where they might be able to do some damage tonight. Gerrit Cole, right-handed pitcher, very good. His last 30 days, 94 batters, a 106 ISO against and a 298 weighted on base percentage for the season. He's been great all the way around. But the one thing you always like about that Dodgers lineup, Dubsy, they can really hit right-handed pitching. Otani, Betts, Freeman, Hernandez, Muncy, Kike Hernandez, and then Will Smith all elevated ISO power numbers over their past month against right-handed pitching. So we look at that total going from 8 up to 8.5. I guess I agree with that. Like, we got a ton of runs last night, but you have your aces on the mound. Am I expecting 3-1, 3-2? Not necessarily. I don't know if we get the 9 runs tonight. How are you feeling about that total tonight from your side?
I don't like it, Donnie. I think both arms are going to be out there, 4-5 innings pitch, hopefully, if everything's going right there. Flaherty looked great in his first game for the World Series here. And in terms of Gerrit Cole, I don't think he's going to be overawed by the situation. So again, I think the total is something, if you don't like the unders, maybe just hold off and try and attack it live. If both these arms start to look a little shaky, if they start to make a couple of bullpen moves there. But I like the unders. I think it will be a low score. And as you highlighted, doesn't have to be an English Premier League 2-1, 3-1 at 8 runs. We still got plenty of coverage. It feels like it's going to be a 4-3 kind of game in favor of the Yankees there. So I like this one. Out of the Dodgers, out of the bats that I'd be looking to step up and maybe find a bit of contact late in this one, Teoscar Hernandez, you can still get him at a decent price. And Tommy Edmonds had a really good series. I mean, you look at both lineups here. There's just superstars, star power across the board. So it's going to be a fantastic one again. And I don't know, Donnie. I mean, when you look at the pressure makes diamonds, or you can put in the car tires there. You would have to say that the Dodgers are carrying a bit more pressure coming into this one, trying to close out the series. I think the Yankees are showing up saying, they wrote us off. We're going against history. We didn't have a chance last night. Now, suddenly, we've got our best arm to get us underway here for Game 5. I think they're playing cool, calm, collected, house money kind of baseball for the Yankees tonight.
Dubs, question for you, too, because I know the fans got ejected last night from that game, but I don't think they're banned from the ballpark. What are the odds in the over-under tonight? They find their way on the TV screen by being in the ballpark again, Dubsy. What do you think?
Hey, it worked from last night. I'd be paying to get them back in the building. I don't like it when the fans interact with the players, but the thing that blows me, Donnie, is that the press caught up with these two bozos, and this has been a game plan. They always said, if it comes in our direction, I'm grabbing the ball, you grab his other hand, and we're playing for our team. The city is riding with New York, baby. Give me the Yankees for Game 5. Come on.
By the way, did John Sterling call that a home run on that Mookie Betts play down the right field side? He probably did. We're going to talk more next. Keep it here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, we having fun. Absolutely. We always do on the early line. Hour number 3, talking so many hot topics here. Bringing in our next guest is Joe Maddon into the equation. We got a lot of stuff to go over, Joe. How you been?
I've been really good. Excited for everything going on today and tomorrow. We've got a great weekend slate as well in football, Donnie. Excited for it.
Everything. So much action packed. And you're right. Just a minute when we get like a breath, like, okay, everything's done. Tomorrow we get the NFL week started up once again. And let's head right there to the Meadowlands, to MetLife, and a lot of question marks across the docket. It's the Houston Texans taking on the New York Jets. This line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe, -1.5. Still sits at 1.5 today there. Other outlets reporting 2 and 2.5 as a favorite towards the Jets. The Houston Texans come in to me as the better team, but injured. Stephon Diggs goes down with a knee injury. Nico Collins not yet back. So my question to you is, could this be a last stand for the Jets? We've been talking about this for 5 weeks now, but is tomorrow the final last stand for the New York Jets?
Well, yeah, everyone keeps saying this, right? And my money can't go on the Jets anymore. I didn't take them last week, Donnie, versus the Patriots. And you look at that game, they allow the Patriots' backup quarterback to drive down that field and score the game-winning touchdown. So how can I trust this team? This team has missed 88 tackles so far on the season. This defense isn't looking like themselves. Devontae Adams isn't clicking with Aaron Rodgers out there like we expected. We expected that huge, big impact with him joining the this team. I've got a role with the Houston Texans in this. I know injuries are huge here, and we know that CJ Stroud did struggle the last time he played the Jets last season. We saw those struggles out there on the field. He wasn't able to complete that passing touchdown even, but I trust in this team more, and I trust in the Houston Texans defensively. You got Joe Mixon in that backfield. He's phenomenally strong. He's been able to get a touchdown in every game except for that game where he did have that ankle injury. So I'm high on the Texans. I'm high on Joe Mixon, but I do think you look at some of the receiving props in this one as well. Mm-hmm. Now, Tank Dell was a phenomenal weapon last season for CJ Stroud, and I'm looking for him for his longest reception because we know at some point this defense of the Jets has to wake up, has to stop allowing the quarterbacks to throw on them. But I do think CJ Stroud will be able to put that big pass down the field. Over 22 and a half is his longest reception number for Tank Dell. I love it. But we have to have a little bit of faith in Aaron Rodgers to connect out here. Now, I'm not taking Davante Adams because I do think Houston with their defense will be all over Adams. You don't want to allow him to get open out there. Garrett Wilson, though, a great target out there for Aaron Rodgers. His longest reception sitting at 21 and a half, Donnie.
Yeah. By the way, if you're picking any guy to score a touchdown on the Texans right now, certainly we mix in. He's been absolutely fantastic for the Texans. And we'll see if the Jets have a last stand or if it's a wrap on the season with Aaron Rodgers. Let's move it over here and talk some NHL action. The Stanley Cup odds. What are you guys kidding me? It's only been a week and a half into the season. No, they're already out here and changes are being made. Joe, I'll ask you quickly on these. Of the teams, the Oilers, the Stars, the Panthers, the Rangers, the Leafs, the Devils, changes from opening day till now. What have you seen and who do you like?
Oh, you know what? You've really got to look at the New York Rangers. The New York Rangers coming out so phenomenally strong on all sides of the puck. This team has been phenomenal net. You've got one of the best goaltending duels in the league between Igor and Jonathan Quick, and I love what they're able to produce offensively. This offense has so much depth on all of their lines, and I do think they can compete against the best of them because you've got that goaltending as well as a solid defense. The penalty kill is phenomenal, and you look at their power play, second best in the league on that power play. So I do think this team has every ability. At plus 1100, I will be putting some money on that. Now, I did like the Devils originally, but the Devils have had a couple of struggles. I still do think they're a solid place to look in the New Jersey Devils. We're getting more value. Their line has moved the opposite way at plus 1300. I'm expecting this team to come together a little bit more solid over the next couple of weeks. Had some rough losses out there, Donnie.
Yeah, can the Rangers put it together and come up with a victory? We know they have the goalie for it, just a matter of getting that timely scoring once they get to the playoffs. We do have some hockey tonight, absolutely. Six games on the card, the one we're going to focus on, the Calgary Flames taking on the Hockey Club tonight, as you've seen me have rant multiple times on this network. 9:30 p.m. Eastern start. This game opened up at a minus 140 price as a home favorite towards Utah, Joe. But now we're down to a minus 125 money coming on Calgary and a total listed between 6 to 6.5, depending on where you're shopping at. What are we looking at tonight between Calgary and Utah, Joe?
Yeah, I'm not shocked money has been coming in on Calgary because they've won the last three meetings here versus Utah, 9 of the last 10. So this is a team they've dominated. And if you're looking at trends in any sports, they really do hold so true in hockey. Now, what I like about Calgary tonight is Dustin Wolf in net, not Dan Vladar. Dustin Wolf has looked phenomenal this season so far. He's been the stronger goaltending of their goaltending tandem, and he's ultimately the backup goaltender, even though they really haven't said this is our lead goaltender in Dan Vladar. Now you're looking at him 3-1 on the season with a 2.74 goals against average and a .924 save percentage. I do think he can stop Utah here in this one. Both of these teams on losing streaks. So Donnie, Calgary losing the last three, Utah losing the last four. I do think the goals will come at some point in this game. We know there's power on both sides. Clayton Keller coming out here for Utah. But I do think you look here at Calgary straight up on the money line. You also look at Kuzmenko for that anytime goal. He's already got 4 goals and 3 assists on the season. And Nazem Kadri, another strong player to look at. We've also seen Huberto really step up for this team. The chemistry is just working out there for Calgary, sitting fourth in the Pacific.
Let's get down to the real basics on this Utah Hockey Club. Now, I've been voted multiple times best dressed male on the network here at the Sports Grid Network, so I consider myself a fashionista. Look, Utah Hockey Club, the jersey, the shield. I mean, Joe, help me out on this, please. Do you please agree with me? We need to get a change quickly here.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And I do believe they will be changing this name. Still going to be a voted upon name at some point, hopefully next season. They're the Utah Yetis, because I think that name would fit perfectly for them.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. I can't, the Utah Hockey Club. And if it catches, like, oh, we're just going to stick with it, I'm going to have a big grievance against that. No doubt about it here. But we bring Joe on. We love to talk hockey. She's going to be here all season long with us. Also, make sure you follow here her on the Sports Grid Network. Doing big things, Joe. Thanks for waking up and shining with us this morning.
Of course. Thanks for having me here. Always fun to talk with you, Donnie.
By the way, don't go anywhere. Joe's up next, solo mission. She's going to point you in the right direction on the ice right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Lines. Okay, you guys, let's talk some hockey. We talked Calgary versus Utah already. We're rolling with the Calgary Flames in that situation, but there are five other games out there on the ice. I've got a couple of same game parlays. So let's get straight into it. The New York Islanders taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. This is the first road game here of three for the Islanders, and they are on the second night of a back-to-back after losing at home versus the Columbus Blue Jackets last night. I do expect tired legs, and this is a battle of the Metro here. We've seen the Columbus Blue Jackets be able to put those goals on the board, averaging 4.13 goals per game. And I do think they'll be able to hit Varlamov in a net for the New York Islanders. So in this one, I'm going to ride here with the over 6.5. Now you're getting plus money to the over 6.5 at plus 100. But I do think this game has every possibility of OT. I think this is a 4-3 style game, one in overtime. So give me the overtime bet in this one at plus 360. We got to talk about the Winnipeg Jets. Now, the Winnipeg Jets did take the L. They took the loss after winning 8 games consecutively to the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was a hard loss, you guys. And if you live bet that one, grabbing the Jets plus the 2.5 did end up cashing as they lost that 6-4 as the Toronto Maple Leafs went up huge in the first period. They're facing the Red Wings now, and you've got to think this team is going to come out and want revenge on anyone that they're facing. So the Red Wings, a prime target here to take the loss, but I'm going to play this one a little bit more cautiously. We look at the Winnipeg Jets, and they're phenomenally strong on that power play. It is converting at 44.4% of the time, the best in the whole league. And we look here at the kill of the Detroit Red Wings, not solid at all, only killing 66.7%. I'm going to look here at the Winnipeg Jets to be able to convert on that power play. And I do think you can look at their top three guys on the top line and the top power play for their points tonight and combine those points. And then outside of that, look at those power play points. So looking here, I would parlay Josh Morrissey, Mark Scheifele, and Kyle Connor for the anytime point tonight. And when you do so, it's coming in at plus 142. Now, you can look at them for the power play point as well, because I expect those power points to come in. They're great plus money. Kyle Connor is plus 180 on the night for that power play point. He has 4 power play goals already this season. The anytime goal coming in at plus 130. So that parlay, I think, is where it's at. That's just a regular point for those three at plus 142. Again, Morrissey, Connor, and Scheifele. Going down the list, we got the Tampa Bay Lightning taking on the Colorado Avalanche. Vasilevskiy expected here for Tampa. And I do think you look at this Tampa Bay Lightning team, this is one of the best offenses in the whole league. Tampa's kill has been one of the worst, so, and they're going to have to be careful because Colorado's power play is clicking elitely. So looking here, if Tampa can stay out of that box, Tampa has every ability to roll into Colorado tonight and get the win. Looking at the Tampa Bay Lightning, they're coming in at minus 102. But I do think in this first period, with these high-octane offenses that we have on both sides of the puck, you've got to look. Both teams to score in the first period, coming in at plus 155. Let's jump into the Vegas Golden Knights taking on the LA Kings. Now, we know the Kings lost last night to the San Jose Sharks. And in hockey, you guys, looking at that look ahead situation is so needed. The Kings were looking ahead to Vegas today because this is the number one and number two team in the Pacific. They didn't care about the number eight team in the San Jose Sharks last night. So always look for that in hockey. Look at those advantages. But tonight in this matchup, they're just so outmatched here by the Vegas Golden Knights. The Vegas Golden Knights should be able to get the win here with Adin Hill in goal. Darcy Kuemper expected here for the LA Kings. And while they might come out strong at first, I do think the Vegas Golden Knights pull away in this matchup here. So give me the Vegas Golden Knights laying the puck line, laying 1.5 goals for the full game at plus 210. It's a 5-2 style win here, I do think, for Vegas. And last but not least, you guys, we have to talk about the New Jersey Devils versus the Vancouver Canucks. This is a battle of the Hughes brothers. We've got Luke, Jack, and Quinn Hughes all out there on the ice. Of course, Quinn Hughes here for the Vancouver Canucks. Jack and Luke here for the Devils. I'm taking all three of these guys parlayed for a point tonight. It's amazing to see them all out there on the ice together. And every time we do, we have an explosion of points for them. So Luke, Jack, and Quinn Hughes all for one plus points tonight, coming in at plus 309. We're getting so much value out there on the ice. I do think the Devils can get the win in this one, and I do expect this one to go to overtime as well, plus 350. If it does go to overtime, you guys, you look at the Vancouver Canucks. They've lost three already in overtime this season. Don't go anywhere. Newswire coming up in just the next couple minutes. Thanks for joining me here on the Early Line.